Good morning. Ooh, it's bright up here. You just disappeared. Well, first of all, before I get started this morning, I'd really like to bring greetings from Miriam. She's back in Benin, West Africa. And I do have some of our prayer letters, which I would be delighted to give you. It's actually also a Christmas letter, so I'm sorry it's a couple of days late. But it's our annual prayer letter, and it tells you a little bit about Miriam. And that actually was the last time we were here. I just introduced Miriam, and she spoke. But two of her major prayer requests have been answered, and that is when she got back to Benin, she wanted to study Bariba, which is the local tribal language. And she also wanted to leave the base and commute to the base to work at Alafia, with AIDS and HIV patients. And she wanted to be totally immersed in a Beninese family and also enhance her learning of Bariba. So if you would pray for her, it is quite a challenge to learn a tribal language. They don't have that beautiful textbook that you had to study French. It's very, very different, and it is a real challenge. So I hope if you could possibly remember her and in your prayers in this coming year, it hopefully will be a very special year for her. We just had her home for 6 months, and it was a delight for her mom and I, to say the least. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time of worship that we've already had this morning. Thank you for the breaking of bread, and we thank you, Father, for just an opportunity to take some quiet, still time in all the busyness of the season, both the combination of the Christmas season and the New Year's season. And we thank you for that quiet time just to remember that Jesus loved us so much that he allowed himself to stay on that cross. And as one man pointed out, those nails didn't hold him. All he had to say was dust, and those nails would have been little piles of dust on the ground. No, his love for us held him there. And we thank you for that precious and wonderful gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're all thinking about New Year's, and it's just 3 days away, and is coming up very, very soon. I hope it's a time of excitement and anticipation for you as you consider what God is going to do in you and what he's going to do through you to strengthen and encourage the body of Christ and reach out to those who have never received the gift of everlasting and eternal life. Now, this next verse is Miriam's favorite verse. I guess you would call it her life verse. And it's her very, very favorite verse. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. And for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And certainly one of the most precious truths that we can take into this brand new year is very, very simply, God is good. Now, sometimes it gets a little bit tarnished because we do go through trials and tests and we begin to wonder, does God really love me the way his word and the way pastors and preachers and missionaries say he does when this has happened to me? Why me, Lord? Why me? Well, we've all been there and we've all done that. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Is that what he's thinking towards you right now? It's agape love. It's perfect, unconditional love. And that's what he has for you this morning, as has already been pointed out in our early worship. And that is the fact that he doesn't see us in ourselves. He sees us through the blood of Christ. We use that expression sometimes, oh, you just see life through rose-colored glasses. That's exactly how God sees us, through rose-colored glasses, the blood of Jesus Christ. That verse gains a lot of power and assurance and boldness when you combine it with John 1:1-4. And these are three amazing verses. And if you have people coming to your house who are denying the deity of Christ, and we've all had those visits, I think, and there's usually an apprentice, a younger person, with the leader. And I would encourage you, when you share these verses in that setting, focus on the apprentice. Don't focus on the person who's totally committed themselves to a disbelief in the deity of Christ, in the fact that he is truly the Son of God. And we see here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's pretty plain. You don't need a PhD in theology to understand that. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were made by him. And without him, this is an incredible statement, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything you see, everything that's created, everything that's outside that window, everything out there was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life. And I was looking at these little things about God is not dead, or I'm forgetting exactly how it's worded out there on all those cards. But it's a good thing he isn't dead, because I'm talking about his life, his power, his strength, his grace, and his tender mercies this morning. I would kind of be in trouble if that was true. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Remember that word light. And in him, the life was the light of men. For many people, New Year's Eve is a time of what? Well, you know what it's a time of. Excessive consumption of alcohol. Many people will be suffering the day they will start the new year. The next morning, they will be looking for a breakfast of tomato juice and Alka-Seltzer. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a Tim Hortons sandwich and a nice coffee, but, you know, I prefer that second breakfast to that first one. There's something about, I don't really even like tomato juice when I'm absolutely dead sober, which I am all the time. But tomato juice and Alka-Seltzer just doesn't do it for me. That is not the way I want to start the new year. But many people, that's how they're going to start it. And spending a lot of money, you know, some of those gala events in the big cities, they cost hundreds of dollars per person. Per person. That's a lot of money to have to spend. And they're trying very often to mask their fear and anxiety about the coming year. That's really what it's all about. And that intoxication and dancing and all that shouting at midnight, for a lot of people, that's a mask over real fear and anxiety about what is coming their way in 2015. Now, I think, and it's natural, I guess it's human, to see that the glass is half empty rather than half full. We do tend towards the negative very often. And that negative leaning tends to take all the trials, all the tests and all the temptations of 2014 and make them into one big lump and kind of look back on 2014 in that context. Unfortunately, we don't have a natural tendency to see all the blessings and all the victories and all the wonderful times that happened during this past year. I was visiting with people yesterday, and we were talking about some of the heartaches they've been through in the past year, but my goodness, some of the blessings and some of the things that God has poured out upon this couple were really exciting, and it was good to emphasize those things and draw that out as we fellowship together. 2 Corinthians 10:13. You know, the believer may have that same tendency that the unsaved have of seeing more the negative than the positive. But you know, we have verses like this that can really override that and really help us as we come into 2015 to truly have a bold and confident spirit. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. And I think maybe the verse that I was looking for here is, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, whatever you're going to face this year, others in this room have faced them as well. But you're amongst, most of you, there may be some visitors from the States or Europe, but the majority of you are Canadians. And you have to understand a little bit about our culture. And our culture says that if I fall, as I'm getting out of the car and I fall on my face in the mud puddle, and then somebody mugs me on the way to the church, And then I fall down and badly injure my knee, and you come up and ask me, how are you doing, Neil? What do I say? Fine. I'm a Canadian. That's what you say. I'm fine. No, not necessarily true. But, you know, when we're walking around throughout the year telling everybody, I'm fine, well, you know, we may be going through the same thing you're going through, but as Canadians, we never want to show it. We never want to let you know that we may be going through the same valley, the same heartaches, and the same things that you are facing. So you get encouraged by Satan to believe what? Nobody suffered the way you're suffering. Nobody has gone through this particular heartache. Nobody. Well, that's not true. That's not true, because the Word of God makes it very plain here. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Remember Joseph. That's a good example. A way of escape. You know that word escape, I don't think of it as just, you know, kind of casually, oh, somebody's screaming escape and I'm wandering over here to the exit. No, I don't think so. When somebody starts screaming escape, I'm going for that exit full bore, just like Joseph did. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get away, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, in our ministry, we're constantly preparing for trips. My job is to get the car ready, one of my jobs, to make sure that my notes are with us. It's easier to preach when you got your notes with you, and that my Bible is in, and I have my all the information about the meetings and that type of thing, and also making sure that everything is in the suitcases. My wife does a lot of that, and everything is there that we'll need through the 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long we're going to be gone. And you're exactly in the same position right now. And you need to consider, have you got everything on board? Have you got everything packed that you need to go into this journey called 2015? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Because you need to consider the resources that we have as Christians as we go in to this journey. Obviously, the Word of God is one of the things that you want to be very close to and have very close to you during this coming year. You know, one of the things that amazes me as a missionary, having been over in Africa for 19 years and meeting many people that don't have anything of the Scriptures, it's amazing that you and I have over 500 total translations in the English language of the Scriptures. Over 500. 1,900 groups have not a word. They have nothing. And so that is amazing. And it also, that statistic should tell you, number one, how precious God's Word is to Him. And how vigorously He defends those who are cynics towards the Word of God. It should have been destroyed a long time ago. It should have been wiped out. All the atheists and the agnostics and the people who despise the Word of God and mock you for believing the Word of God, they should have been successful a long time ago, but they haven't been. As a matter of fact, the total opposite. What is the best-selling book in the world? And it's far more than a book. It's a miracle. But the Bible. The Bible still to this day is the most sought after and sold and published and printed book anywhere on this planet. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God, I like these next two words, quick and powerful. Keep that in mind. It is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and even the joints and marrow. This can pierce the very, when you're talking to a surgeon, and they're talking about joints and marrow, you're talking about the inner, deepest place within a human being. The absolute deepest internal aspects of that person. The joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the essence of grace teaching? The essence of great teaching is not what you ought or should to do. The essence of great teaching is, what is the condition of your heart? And you don't have to be a Christian very long to realize God is equally concerned not only with just what you do, but why you did it. What is your passion? What is your focus? What is your vision? Where are you at the heart level? That's what grace teaching is all about. And it gets away from all the externals and looks more and more on the inside. You know, that's one of the great dangers of legalism, is the fact that legalism focuses so much. You know, have I got a spiritual haircut? Well, let me assure you, mine's getting a whole lot spiritual back here. It's just about gone. And so I don't really have to worry about that too much anymore. But, you know, and what's his dress like? And it goes on and on with externals. You focus on externals too much. What do you forget about? The heart. And that's what grace teaching, and that's what living under grace is all about. Where is my heart today? Am I here this morning to get famous? Am I here to get rich? Have I got some kind of ridiculous agenda? Or am I here to serve Christ and hopefully encourage and strengthen and affirm your walk with Him? What are my heart purposes? And that is crucial to God. And that's what grace teaching is all about versus legalism. What does the law do? The law kills. Yes, the law convicts of sin, but it is certainly never presented in the New Testament as a way to be more than a conqueror, to be more than a victor in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I pray for unsaved ones, and I had a kind of a battle up the road with some folks. We rent out a little bit of a trailer up there, and they had a dog who got involved with this other family, and then they got furious with me because I was supposed to kind of control this little 7-pound mutt. If you're a dog lover, I'm sorry. But anyway, for me, he was a mutt, and he caused me a lot of grief. And he was running over and causing problems at their house or whatever, and things just fell apart. They really, really got out of control. So I started a little thing. You may think this is weird, which is okay. And every time I saw a truck like these people drove, which in this case was a Ram 1500, and every time I saw an advertisement or on TV or passed one on the road, I would start praying for them. And then as I continued to pray for them, I thought, well, there are a lot of other people I should put on this list. So the list has got longer and longer. So if you drive a Ram truck and I look like I'm distracted as I drive past you, well, I likely am. But at any rate, one of the things, and there's a series of things that I like to pray for those people in regards to their salvation. But one of them is, Lord, pierce their defenses, pierce their excuses, pierce their rationalizations with the two-edged sword of your truth. I like that. Somehow or another, that just sort of blesses my heart. And I pray that God will draw them to Himself and that God will convict them of sin. And He will raise up people who will truly share truth with them in a fervent way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And I drive along the road. I don't close my eyes, by the way. And it's just been a blessing. And I won't tell you whether you're on that list or not, but there's quite a list of loved ones from family and neighbors and all kinds of things on that list now. But it means a great deal to me, and it's very precious indeed. In Psalm 119, 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness for my comfort, be for my comfort according to the word unto thy servant. One of the great resources we have in the Word of God is that it can comfort you. You know, likely most of us, if the truth were known, we go for the fridge before we go for the Bible when the roof falls in on us, right? And we get the munchies and those chocolate covered almonds. Please don't ever offer me chocolate covered almonds because I'll really disappoint you. They're a definite weakness in my life. But you know, we have so much more powerful resource in the Word of God. And yet very often it's not the first thing that we go to seek comfort in those challenging and hard times. You can be sure. Do you think there'll be valleys and heartaches in 2015? Of course there will be. And once again, I want to repeat myself. If everybody else is saying, oh, I'm fine, don't entirely believe it, okay? Canadians do lie. And you don't entirely believe that. They're not as fine as they might have told you, but that's what they've been trained to say. A beautiful verse is found in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, And how does it end? You should have it right behind me here. Because he trusteth. What a huge thing in this coming year. When you go through those real heartaches, trust him. He said that all things work together for good. No, it doesn't taste like it. It doesn't feel like it. It certainly doesn't emotionally bring an experience to you that feels like all things work together for good. But the Bible says that all things work together for good. And there's hardly a person here who couldn't look back on some of the heartaches of the last 5 years and see that in the long haul, not the short run, but in the long haul, it worked together for good. Even some of the most, in that conversation I was having with that couple yesterday, the worst trial, the worst testing that they ever went through, I finally heard him say yesterday that, yes, I can work with people who are going through that horrible situation much better now, now that I have been through it and I have tasted the pain of that kind of situation that they had faced and gone through as a couple. And one of the things, hopefully, that some of these trials that we go through and will go through in this coming year is that as a couple, hopefully it draws you closer together. It builds your relationship. It builds your testimony as a married couple. And you've shared in that and you've talked it through and you've prayed together and you've dealt with that and you've confronted those challenges. And hopefully that enhances the relationship you have. I remember as a young fella, that was a few years ago, I'd hear older people say, I love that woman more today than I ever did before. And I thought, oh, yeah, sure. Look at, she's getting older too. And, you know, it's true, folks. And that's one of the reasons it is true. The depth of relationship. If you don't get bitter, if you don't rear up, if you don't lash out, but if you rest in the Lord and seek the Lord and go through the thing as a team, that relationship's going to get stronger. She's going to get more beautiful and more precious and more perfect to you in so many different ways because you've been through that together. And how precious and how true that is. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. We all know that a Spirit-filled walk depends upon our keeping short accounts with God, right? Confession, all confession means is agreeing with God. It isn't self-flagellation. It isn't, oh, I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. That's prideful. You're not the worst sinner that ever lived. You're not even close. We're to just agree with God that we have sinned and that we faltered in our walk with them, and we're to apologize for those we've hurt or offended. It's as simple as that. That's keeping short accounts. And as we keep short accounts in this coming year, there'll be a lot more blessing in our lives. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Key word here, cleanse. Do you need to get a shower once in a while? Of course you do. Imagine if you went 5 weeks without a shower. It'd be pretty rough. And there would be an odor, okay? And if we drift away from the Lord, some people use this word, backsliding, as we drift away from some of the channels of grace in our lives, prayer, worship, what you're doing right now, and Bible study, and just service, and walking in obedience, as we drift away from those things, there can be an odor in our, rather than a fragrance, there can be an odor in our testimony. And in our involvement with the lives of other people. Exactly the same as if you drift away from soap and hot water and showers and baths and all that type of thing. It's exactly the same thing. And so we need to keep short accounts. Short accounts with Him and short accounts with those around us so that we can be cleansed. And once again, that's one of the great resources that we have. It's not just reading and studying and memorizing. You're actually being cleansed. Why? Because the Word of God will convict you of sin in your life. And as He convicts you and as the Word of God convicts you, then you can deal with these things. And once they're dealt with, they're done. They're gone. They're finished under grace, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as I think about this, and I want you to think about it for a moment, think about when you do have you slip into. I don't know how many holiness people are here today, but I believe that we do need confession on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, it as you think of the need to confess things and to just share them with the Lord, it's how much better is it to discover these things in the privacy of your study or your bedroom or your living room, wherever you study the Word of God, and deal with these things quietly before God rather than having to have God send somebody alongside and say, "Hey, Neil, the way you talked to that person wasn't really cool. I mean, that was off base." You know, I would much rather deal with these things quietly, privately with God, before the Word of God, worshiping Him quietly in my devotions, rather than have to have it a public issue. Wouldn't you prefer that? I hope so. You're very different from me if you like the pipe of saying, "Hey, buddy, you're out to lunch, and you need to deal with that." There's no question. If we study and read and memorize and meditate upon and listen to the Word of God on a faithful, regular basis in 2015, do you think you're going to have fewer times when there will be an odor versus a fragrance? I think so. I think so. I think you can count on it. How precious the Word is. How many decisions do we make from the time you open your eyes in the morning until you fall asleep at night? Hundreds. Hundreds. Some are of minor importance. Some are life-changing. But certainly, there are a lot of decisions to be made. How much more precious it is if we can make it in the light versus if we make it in darkness. And in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You think if you get up in a dark house, let's say you're visiting somewhere, and I'm doing that on a regular basis in my ministry, and you get up and you're not really sure. You know, I should have looked last night to see where the switch is, and maybe your wife turned off the light, so you can't really remember what it was, and you hit something like this right on the shins. You know, you become very hesitant. All of a sudden you're going around and trying to work your way around, and it's very hesitant. You know, there are a lot of people who are going to go into 2015 very hesitant because they're in the dark. They really can't see. They're really not sure. They don't have any assurance. They're all alone. And yet you and I, are we all alone? One of the beautiful things about being a born-again believer is, yes, I will face trials. Yes, I will go through heartaches. Yes, there will be betrayals in a sin-cursed world. But I never face any of those things alone, because the person who is truth and perfect love said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I will go through nothing in 2015 without His fellowship, without His help, without His strength, without His power, as Pastor shared, without His righteousness, purity, holiness, and truth. I will not face anything without Him right at my side, including right this second, as I share with you. Do you think I'm getting any help from the Lord? Any help from the Holy Spirit? Of course I am. Of course I am. I could never, never do this on my own. I need His strength. I need Him coming alongside. We go into 2015 with a word that is quick and powerful. And this is a little bit of a review. I used to be a high school teacher, so always have to have reviews. We go into that word that with a word that is quick and powerful and very sharp. It can cut through all those excuses and denials. It offers wisdom, discernment, and understanding. Do you think you need those things in today's world? Today's Sunday. Tomorrow is Monday. Chronicle Herald will have another issue out tomorrow. Do you want to be convinced? You don't need me preaching from the Word. You want to be convinced we live in a dark, perverse and wicked world? Just get a copy of the Chronicle Herald. I guarantee you they will not fail us tomorrow morning. What people have been up to all weekend long is disgusting, incredible, unbelievable, the stuff that's going on. I won't give illustrations. One's running through my mind right now, and it's so gross I don't even want to go there. But yes, we live in a dark world, and we surely need wisdom, godly discernment, and godly understanding. remember one Bible teacher said every day he starts his day by asking for those three things, because he has no idea what he's going to be facing as the day unfolds. It offers comfort and peace. You think you're going to need that? Of course you're going to. Of course there are going to be hard times in this 2015. But you have the Word of God to go to bring peace and comfort and affirmation to your walk of faith. It gives you a light for the journey of life. You know, we shouldn't really get filled with hatred. And I'm sure in a crowd this big, there are likely unsaved people out there who you just cannot stand. They get under your skin. They drive you crazy. They're offensive. They insult you. They make fun of you publicly. And, you know, we really should feel sorry for these people, because they're going into this new year in darkness. That's a tough place to be. That is a very painful, frightful, terrifying place to be. And certainly with tribal people and in the outreach that New Tribes has, these people live in constant terror. And their absolute focus, and it doesn't matter which group it is, their focus is on the evil spirits. And the evil spirits are out to destroy them, kill them, make them sick, wipe them out in any way that's possible. That is their passion, that is their vision, and that is their focus. What a life. What a life. A life of hopelessness and fear and just paranoia written all over it. In 2014, New Tribes missionaries reached every 45 days. They reached a new language group with the gospel of Jesus Christ in their language and in their culture. That is an incredible thing. Our goal, of course, is that every 40 days, we will reach a new language group with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I already mentioned, there are 1,900 groups who, and I have shared this with you before, I share it again, this is their Bible. They have nothing. It's an amazing experience to share with someone in a language they understand, sometimes a trade language, but in a language they understand, to share with them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they just look at you blank. You know, here in Canada, you always get a reaction when you talk about Christ. Matter of fact, in our culture, we've slipped so far. If you just say, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, you get a reaction. You'll either get a, what's the matter with you? Don't you know anything about political correctness? Nope. Not really concerned about that. Thank you. Goodbye. And I'm not going to say Happy Xmas either. And somebody actually shared with me recently that the Xmas is actually the cross of Christ. Well, my Lord's cross wasn't fallen on the ground like an X. It was straight up in the air. And those pictures that the artists have given us of those silhouettes, those three silhouettes way up high in the air, that's how my Lord, and it isn't happy holidays, and it isn't season's greetings, whatever that means. Have you ever tried to think what season's greetings mean? Not really sure on that one. But it is, once again, an amazing experience to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. No response at all. No reaction. Nothing special. You could be talking about wood and trees and rivers and clouds. Nothing. Nothing special about that. You know, as you think of our goal in 2015 of reaching a new group every 40 days, I would like to challenge you this morning. Is there any place in that whole economy? And you know the Lord's in it. The Great Commission is the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. And he over and over and over again in the Word of God were challenged, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is a goal. We have an amazing amount of research that's gone on and how to accomplish that goal. But it doesn't work without finances and prayer and people actually going, people training, people like myself coming out and challenging. It needs an entire team in order to work. Maybe you could be a part of that team. See, I don't know. I've got some excellent materials out there on the table, and I hope you'll take some of those before you leave today. But you know, I don't know where God would have you plug in. I don't know exactly what your life experiences are, what your training is. I don't know what your spiritual gifts are, but God does. And you do. So you have to work it out with him. I can provide the materials for you. I can challenge you. I can encourage you and exhort you. But I can't tell you exactly where God would have you plug in. But I'll tell you one thing. If you do plug in, you won't have to give it a whole lot of worry. Is this really God's will? He wants those people reached. He is not blessed by 1,900 language groups having nothing of the Word of God. Do you know how much hope you have when you have nothing of the Word of God? You have no hope. You have no hope. You have fear and terror and loneliness and just horrible darkness. Horrible darkness. I wouldn't even want to talk about it this morning. It'd spoil your New Year's if I did. But the Lord can ask that question. As you look to Him, with key word coming up here, expectant faith. As you pray to Him, expect Him to answer you. And if there is a place for you to plug in, to truly make yourself, Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice available to Him. Available to Him. One pastor made this very, very clear. He said, our greatest ability as Christian warriors is our availability. If we aren't available, it doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how much you've read the Bible. If you're not available, what can God do? But if you're available and you're truly a living sacrifice, then things start to happen. God has a wonderful plan for 2015. I hope your passion and I hope your desire is to discover what that plan is. To discover where he'd have, because he wants everybody to plug in. Because he died so that people could get saved. Now we're looking today at Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts. But we can't forget Jerusalem. And you know, there could be somebody right here who is going into happy holidays. They're going into it with just secular resources, secular humanism, and not a belief and a faith and a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I lived that way for 30 years. Went to many New Year's parties. Did some of the things I've talked about this morning. And you know, it wasn't very satisfying. It really, really wasn't. And during those 30 years, I had a package of confidence. And I was sincere. I was a very, very sincere person. And I had this little package of sincerity that was going to get me to heaven. My mom told me I was sprinkled as a baby. Now, I didn't know anything about it and didn't have anything much to do about it, other than the fact I guess I offered up my forehead for a little sprinkling. But that was very important, according to my mom. And that was going to get me to heaven. Then at 12 years of age, I went through a ceremony at the church. And in this ceremony, apparently my mom told me later on I said the wrong words or messed it up somehow. But at any rate, I still got to sign the book. I got to sign the book, and that made me a church member. So that had to help me get into heaven. I was really counting on that. And you know, later on, I became a guidance counselor. And I was helping young people in high schools all the time. Many hours every day. I can remember days when I would get out to the car, and I was so exhausted and so spent, I could hardly put the key in the door to open it up and get started and heading home. It was an exhausting job, but I found it a very rewarding job. And I thought God would really be impressed with that. And I had one doctrine that I really hung on to. God is love. Okay, I hung on to that one with dear life. My mom would have said, hang on to it by the skin of your teeth. Well, that's how I was hanging on. And you know, all of these things, and giving to the church. Eventually, I became the chairman of the board of the largest church in our area. And so I was convinced that all of these things would really help me get through those doors, thinking of all the jokes, past St. Peter, and into heaven. And I had it made. Because remember, God is love, right? You remember that one, right? that was my whole doctrine. So you got to hang on to that one. And then, you know, there was a story that came along, and I saw some people holding their arms out here this morning, and you know, there was a man on a cross beside the Lord Jesus. He had committed gross sin. Oh, that was another one of my beliefs, by the way. Don't murder anybody, don't rob any banks, and don't rape anybody. And by the way, if you don't do any of those really gross things, you'll likely be okay for getting into heaven. I don't know what this man did beside the Lord Jesus Christ, but I do know one thing for sure. He was a hideous sinner. Whether he was a murderer or a thief or what all he was, we're not really told. But he was there, and as a matter of fact, he confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am worthy of being here. You are not. He recognized the sinless, pure, holy, righteous nature of Christ. But you see, his hands were nailed to a cross. And you see, they couldn't sprinkle him. He was way up in the sky. See, those crosses were big. And they went right up. And you couldn't sprinkle him up there. So I guess he missed out on that. And you know, you can't sign a membership book when your hands are nailed to a cross. And you can't put any money into the plate because your hands are nailed to the cross. And you can't do any good works. And you can't help people up because your hands are nailed to a cross. As a matter of fact, you know what you can do when your hands are nailed to a cross? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you see, that's where I was wrong. I was sincere. I was sincere. But the thing was, I was counting on my works. And the Bible says we're to count on the work, singular, of Jesus Christ at Mount Calvary, on the cross of Calvary, in the shedding of his blood. So no matter how sincere I was sincerely wrong. I wasn't going to heaven. That was when I was 30. The last 40 years, I've been trusting in what Jesus did. And what did Jesus say to that man who could do nothing? Today you'll be with me in paradise. You will be with me in paradise. All he could do was believe. There's nothing else. You see, salvation is not a salary. That's what I believed for 30 years. It's not a salary. It's a gift. And around that man who was on that cross beside Jesus on Mount Calvary, the man who was told today by the man of truth, who is truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. And as all of that was going on, he believed, and therefore he was received. He's received into the kingdom of God. And you wrap around that whole scene, that beautiful two verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, not of works, not of works, not of works. Lest any man should boast. It isn't a salary. It's a gift. Did you pay for any of the gifts you received this week? No. Because they're not a gift once you have to purchase them. They're a purchase. They're not a gift. A gift is free. All the work was done on the cross of Calvary because you and I are not worthy to do business with God the Father. Because we aren't perfectly pure and holy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, if you're here this morning doing what I did for 30 years, you're into secular humanism and you're counting on your will and your mind and your resources and your wealth and everything else that you have. What a horrible way to go into a brand new 2015. When you could go into 2015 having received the Lord Jesus Christ, with you becoming a brand new creature in Christ. A brand new creature, one who lives in Christ and Christ lives within them, having been sealed by the Holy Spirit, having absolute assurance that you're going to spend eternity with him because of what he did, not what you did, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of what you did, but what he did. And now because his love is perfect and unconditional, you receive that gift of faith, just like that man who could do nothing for himself, nothing for anybody else, but believe. And he believed. And today he was promised a place in paradise. Don't go into 2015 with a bottle in your hand thinking you can handle it. No. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry to go against your culture, but Canadian, it's not fine. It's eternal perdition. It's eternal lostness unless you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I recognize you as the true and perfect and righteous and holy Son of God. I recognize myself as a lost sinner. I am asking you, on the basis of what you did for me on the cross of Calvary, on what you did and happened to you in your resurrection 3 days later as you conquered death and Satan and his demonic forces, and as you were an ultimate and eternal victor, Lord Jesus Christ, I recognize who you are, and I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me from my sins. And it's done for how long? Everlasting and eternal. What does that mean? That means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you can't take that away from you, and nobody else can either, because it's eternal and everlasting. There's a gift being offered to you this morning by the one who loves you perfectly, and that is Jesus Christ. Don't tell him no. Don't try to pull yourself up with your own bootstraps. All you do when you do that is you end up flat on your back. Jesus offers you a gift, and all he's waiting for you to say is, yes, Jesus, I receive. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know the state of every person's heart. As a matter of fact, you know how many hairs are on every head in this room. You know everything about us. David said, search me and know me. And Father, as you search and know each person in this place this morning, I pray that no one will go through those swinging doors at the back of this sanctuary. Nobody will go out into that cold, wet day not having the warmth and the truth and the fulfillment and the blessing and the forgiveness and the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ truly living in their hearts. In Jesus' name, we truly give thanks. Amen.